Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Peace to you. In this morning's gospel lesson, our Lord takes his newly chosen merry band of disciples over to the town of Capernaum, which is on the Sea of Galilee, way up in the northern part of Israel. There, he does what any good Jew would do on a Sabbath. He enters the synagogue. And as was the custom of the day, as a traveling rabbi, like Jesus was, he's invited to get up and deliver the teaching. This was always the custom that was afforded a traveling rabbi. You come and give the sermon today. Now, as he begins to preach to these assembled Jews, he does something that's quite unlike all the other scribes. He speaks with authority. He doesn't do what they do, which is to endlessly debate about God's word and what it might or is saying. He doesn't act like our modern-day Hegelian Episcopalians bantering around amongst themselves, well, I think it means this, but no, I think it means this. He speaks with authority. He takes the word upon his lips, and he proclaims it. He speaks the law to them, convicting them of their sin, and he speaks the forgiveness of sins to them, setting them free and loosing them. And he does all of this without saying, "Thus says the Lord," in the way that the prophets did, because he is the Lord speaking his own word to his people. So he speaks with authority. And so those assembled are amazed at him in his words. Well, into the midst of the synagogue comes a man who has an unclean spirit. This poor soul is not only bound in his sins like you and I are, but he is also bound visibly and externally by an evil spirit sent from the devil. He is manifesting in his flesh a truth about all of us, namely that by birth, all of us are held captive not only by sin and death, but we are also born into captivity. We are born under the reign and the rule of Satan. The devil is, as Scripture tells us, the Lord of this world, not by divine right, but because he has stolen it by his lies and his murder in the Garden of Eden. And in our sin, Christ says, we are all his children. We are children born into captivity. So here is this man manifesting in his flesh this divine truth. He's tormented. He's tortured. He's held fast in the bonds of darkness by this evil spirit. Well, when he comes into the synagogue, the evil spirit in the man knows who Christ is, and he knows why Christ has come, namely to destroy sin, death, and the devil, and all the forces of evil. And so he cuts to the chase and he asks Jesus immediately, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Is now the time that you finally come to put an end to us?" he asks him. And then he tries to get the upper hand on Jesus by naming him. You see, in the ancient world, people believed that if you knew the real name of a deity, it meant that you had control over that deity. So if you could name the god, you had control over the god. And here the demon is trying to put that false belief to work. He thinks, if I call him out and I name him, the Holy One of God, I'll have the upper hand on him. I'll expose him, and so I'll be the master over him. But what does Christ do? He rebukes him with all authority, and he says, "Shut up." That's what the Greek says. "Shut up and come out of him." Well, when God incarnate speaks, even the devils must listen to him. And so out comes the demon, but not before he tries to get one last bit of revenge upon him by shaking the man violently and by crying out in a loud voice. Well, as you can imagine, this was quite a sight. This wasn't your usual day at the synagogue, listening to a bunch of scribes endlessly debating about the law of Moses while Uncle Samuel was in the back nodding off. Seeing this, you just know that coffee hour was not going to be quite the same that particular Sabbath either. All the gossiping about the other parishioners and all the bad-mouthing of the rabbi were going to give way to this much juicier event that Saturday. And so it did. As Mark tells us, they were all amazed. And so they debated amongst themselves, saying, or they talked within themselves, as the Greek says, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And of course, as one might expect, word about this spread everywhere. You can't have this kind of thing going on without word about it leaking outside the doors of the synagogue. And so it says, word spread about this all over Galilee. So what is this all about? Well, here in this exorcism, Christ is putting into action the very words that he was speaking to them earlier. As God incarnate, as God in human flesh, he is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. He alone has the authority to forgive sins and to grant life to the dead, to give life to folks like you and I, people who are bound in sin by birth, people who are held fast under the fear and the power of death, people who are oppressed by the rule and the reign of the devil. This means that he has even authority over sin. He has authority over death. He has authority over the devil himself. And so here in this exorcism, he is exercising his authority. In fact, he's using his authority here to actually speak the forgiveness of sins to this possessed man in the form of an exorcism. You see, exorcisms are really nothing more than absolutions being given. It's the forgiveness of sins being granted because the one who is bound, the one who is held captive, is being loosed, is being freed. And so to be freed from the rule and the reign of the devil is nothing more than to be forgiven. And so this is what Christ is doing here. In speaking to this man, in releasing him, he is forgiving him. He is giving life to the dead. And here's the good news for you and for me. Christ Jesus, the one who speaks with all authority, has now brought the reign of sin and death and the devil to an end by his cross and resurrection. The demon was absolutely right. Christ had come to destroy them. And destroy them he has now done. He has brought an end to them. There on the cross, on that same patch of ground where the devil deceived and stole faith from Adam and Eve. And by the way, this is a teaching of the church fathers we would do well to adhere to. The church fathers always taught that the place where Christ was crucified was the exact same place where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. And so it's no wonder that Jerusalem becomes such a hotly contested place, that in itself perhaps being the Garden of Eden. But in the same spot where the devil lied and deceived and tricked humanity, Christ Jesus comes in and he turns the table on the devil and deceives him and snatches from him his weapons of sin and death. There he bore our sins. In fact, the sins of the whole world to death. And so he swallowed up death with death, as the word says. The devil thought that he had Christ beat, but Christ was turning the tables on him and crushing his head, as was promised to us in Genesis 3. Thus he ransomed us from the power of the devil. In other words, he bound the strong man and he robbed him of all of his weapons. He disarmed him. He took him down to nothing. And so Christ rose on the third day with a promise for you and me that actually exorcises us, not exorcises, but exorcises us, and snatches us away from the devil, and places us in Christ where we are safely nestled in his wings and where we are held gently in his palms. And that word is this: in Christ you are forgiven. Sin and death no longer have any power over you. You have died to sin once for all, and Christ has now made death a nothing for you. It has become nothing more than a gateway into the joyous presence of your Lord, where you will live with him for all of eternity. And so the devil's reign over you has now come to an end as well. By virtue of the waters of baptism, you have been reborn by water in the Spirit, and you have been placed in the person of Christ. You have been hidden in him, safely under his shelter. And so you now belong to him, And his word about you to the devil is this: hands off, he belongs to me. Hands off, she belongs to me. Of course, the devil still prowls around. He's in his death throes. He still prowls around looking for someone to devour, as Peter says, well, but you are to stand firm in your faith. In other words, stand firm in Christ. He is the faith of you. Stand firm in Christ, knowing and trusting that Christ has a hold on you. And as he said, I will not lose one of those whom the Father has given to me. So, dear friends, you have been released from the captivity of the devil, and you have been taken captive instead by your good and gracious Lord, which is the greatest freedom imaginable. You have been transferred from the kingdom and the realm of death to the kingdom of life, to the kingdom of hope, to the kingdom of joy. So go forth this morning in joy and peace to live out the vocations that God has called each and every single one of you to, which is to live under the good and gracious rule of your Lord, to love and serve your neighbors, to care for God's good creation, because the one who has all authority, the one who has won the victory over for you over sin, death, and the devil, has indeed triumphed and silenced his words. Amen.